The sermon series is called The Sermon, and it's taken from the Sermon on the Mount, which you'll find in Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7. We've been going through that sermon that Jesus gave. And if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible or on your device, we'll be there in just a moment. If you're using a Pew Bible, page 832 will get you there. Today's message is called Worry. Hello? My name is Jerry, and I am a recovering worrier. I worried about everything when I was a child. I mean, you guys have no idea. You've only known me the past 3 years. I worried about everything, like everything. My mom bought me a worry stone. It's just a flat stone that you sell buy in a gift store, and you're supposed to rub your thumb on it in your pocket or whatever, and it's supposed to help you not worry. It didn't work. It didn't work at all. Her heart was in the right place, you know. So I worried about everything. But Jesus has transformed me. It's been a slow process. It's not an easy process. I've come a long way. I'm not claiming to be a worry-free person. I won't ask you to raise your hands right now because this is just for you to think about. But I'm going to guess that some of you in this room would describe yourself as like a chronic worrier. You worry about everything all the time. And even if it's not a habitual thing with you, it's not like something that's always there, all of us have times where we are worried about something. Worry has a close friend that accompanies it, and that is anxiety. Worry brings anxiety. Boy, they just like to go together, don't they? Bring anxiety into your life. Worry and anxiety are enemies of your faith. I'm not condemning you, because we all feel this sometimes, but they are enemies of your faith. I know this from personal experience. And I also know this, the Holy Spirit will bring growth and healing if you're willing to ask Him and submit yourself to Him. Before we look at what Jesus has to say about worry, let's think about some things we worry about. Now, it doesn't mean you're worried about them right now, but things you've heard other people worry about, or you worried about in the past. Remember, I don't hear that great, and I want to repeat what you say so everybody hears it. So just shout them out or raise your hand or something. I don't know. What do we worry about? What are things we worry about? Be real now. Now, do you remember that I can't hear worth a hoot? Like, it's football game shouting time. All right, what?
Grades.
Grades, absolutely. What else?
Money.
Money, money. Okay, what else?
Kids.
Health. What? Health? Yep, health. What?
Food.
School. All right. School. That 1 week of school and you're all worried about it already?
Sports.
All right. Now, I went in last week and I came up with some guesses as to what you might say. And we'll see if I guessed any of yours. The first screen is all money. So, will I have enough money for college, retirement, bills, debt, investments, need more equipment for my business, an additional employee for my business? Then there's the questions we worry about kind of internally that can bring this worry and anxiety in ourselves. Let's go to the next one. Who should I marry? Will anyone want to even marry me? Do people like me in the first place? Will I be able to have kids? If I have kids, will they be healthy? Can I be a good enough parent? What will happen if I'm alone? What will happen to our country? Will I get good grades? That's a whole bunch, right? I've got another screen full of them for you. Where should I go to college, or should I even go to college? Can I afford college? Will my child rebel against God? How am I going to take care of my aging parents? What's going on with my health? Does God really love me? Am I really saved? I probably hit on some of yours. I think I got all the ones that were shouted out, and you may have some that you didn't want to say out loud or just didn't say out loud. Now remember, I am not condemning you for having worry in your life, because Jesus doesn't condemn you. It's part of human nature to have worry, at least sometimes. Some of us are chronic worriers. Really, it's part of our sin nature. Because it's not trusting God, right? It's part of our sin nature, but we all have a sin nature, so it's part of the human condition. And Jesus tells us not to be worrying because He has it under control. Now that we hear a lot, right? That does go on the Christian coffee mug and the t-shirt. God is under control, or he has it under control. Some variation of that. It's kind of a cliche that people say. But many cliches are cliches because they're very true. And this is one of them. Because really, really, truly, God has it under control. It may seem chaos. You may have had a bad week last week or a rough week this week. It may just seem like everything's falling apart, but really, truly, God has it under control. And he is aware of your individual situation. He knows what's going on inside, and he cares about that. So let's get into Scripture today. Now, the first verse, we won't pull it up just yet, but the first verse we're going to look at in the main part of our Scriptures starts with the word therefore, which tells us it's connected to a previous verse or a previous section, and it certainly is. And it's connected to a verse that we read last week. If you were here, it will sound familiar to you. So let's just look at that one for review. I won't spend much time on it. So Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So I went over that last week. If you want to hear more about that verse, the sermon's online on the website. Very straightforward verse there. It's not really hard to figure out. Verse 24. Let's see what Jesus says about worry. Now we'll get to verse 25. Jesus says, therefore, can't serve God and money, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? These things Jesus is talking about are basic human needs, true needs. Jesus is not saying you don't need them. He's not saying that at all. He's saying don't fret over them. Don't worry about them. Don't allow anxiety to take over when you're thinking about these things. Then he gives us a great illustration of this. And this illustration made sense in the first century, and it's one of those that doesn't need explanation from the first century because it still makes sense now. So the first part of verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or weep or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Here's a picture of three birds called Tristram's starling. They don't live in this part of the world. They were named after a pastor and a bird expert. This specific picture was taken in Israel by someone I know. These birds are very common in the first century and to this day. People listening to the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus gave this sermon originally, they would have been very familiar with this bird. They've been around for a long, long time. And maybe there were some birds flying around there around the mountain, or some up in the trees, he pointed out. And he says, look, those birds don't worry about food. God provides for them as long as they're alive. He provides what they need. Then Jesus says in the second half of verse 26, are you not much more valuable than they? It's a rhetorical question. Of course, you're all more invaluable to God than a bird. You are part of God's crowning achievement. No matter what the world has said about you, the way you look, the way you act, the way you live your life, or anything else, you are part of God's crowning achievement in creation. You are an image bearer of God, made in God's image. Birds are not made in God's image, and yet he provides for them. Birds still have to look for food. They have to work for it, right? It doesn't just magically show up unless you have a bird feeder in the backyard. They're lucky birds. It's the same with us. God provides us a way to have our basic needs met. That's going to look different from person to person. It's your business. It's your job. It's maybe a check you get or something like that. But God makes a way for us to have our basic needs met. Then we see a verse that I believe has deep insight into humanity. I love this verse. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, this verse and another one in this section are these two verses, and they're on your little yellow sheet that you should have gotten in your bulletin. These verses God has used over the years, really decades now, to bring me out of this constant worry, this kind of chronic worrying all the time. And when I'm pulled back in, and I am sometimes, I'm still pulled in to worry, I go back to this one and the other one that I'll get to later. So what does worry accomplish, Jesus says? It doesn't bring anything good to your life, right? Does it bring anything positive? Can't add a single hour to your life. The only thing worry will bring in is bad things. It'll bring anxiety. We've all felt anxiety from time to time. That's not a good feeling, is it? And anxiety, here's the thing. Anxiety brings more worry, which brings more anxiety. And then you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's just like this cycle of worry and anxiety. I'm going to ask all of you a question, and then I would like for you to say the answer loud. There's only one right answer, and it's really easy. I won't even tell you the answer because you know the answer already, all right? So I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to do this, and you say the answer, okay? It's a one-word answer. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
No.
All right, no. The answer is no. That's the right answer. All right. Do your best to remember that. I've been doing my best to remember that for many, many, many years now. Jesus said it, so we know it's true. We know it's we can trust it. Nothing good can ever come from worry. Again, I know this personally. I have lived this. Now, another basic need that Jesus mentioned is clothing. Jesus brings that back up in verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Diana and I, Diana's right over here if you don't know her, we were blessed to live in Alaska for a couple of years. And let me tell you, there's nothing like an Alaskan summer. Alaska is beautiful year-round, but if you've never been there, especially in the summer, it is fantastic. I would rather spend a summer in Alaska than the beach of Hawaii. It is just, it's unbelievable up there. And so we lived there, and in the summer, roughly June, July, August, the short summers up there, we would drive around in those months, and we would see this. We would see wildflowers everywhere. Nobody planted those flowers. Well, God did, but nobody put them there. That's not somebody's yard. We would drive around and see that. It was amazing. And this is not some idyllic picture. You know, we would see this all over the place. You don't have to look far to see scenes like that in Alaska, these wildflowers. I love seeing God's creation there all year round, but these wildflowers were really amazing. And they were only out there for about 3 months, depending on the year. And then they go away, and when the snow came, you know, the cold temperatures. And those wildflowers would return. Didn't matter how harsh the winter was, we got a lot of snow, extra cold, they just would show up. The wildflowers would always come back. And then Jesus says this in verse 29 about flowers. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Like one of these. Well, Solomon was a guy in the Old Testament, in case you don't know who he is. He was a king of Israel for a time. The other thing about Solomon that you need to know is that he was one of the richest people, really, that ever lived. He certainly was the richest person of his day. Solomon could afford the finest clothing available of his day, and I'm sure that he did that and clothed his family and so forth. And Jesus says that the finest clothing that money can buy in the entire world cannot compete with one flower. The beauty of one flower is more beautiful than the finest clothing. So then he goes on to say in verse 30, if that is how much God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? The sad part of living in Alaska is the flowers were gone by October or maybe sometime in September, depending on the year. Here, I live just north of here. Many of you know where the house is. And I've got some hanging baskets with flowers in it, and I've got a little bed of flowers up in the front yard and some more hanging baskets. Sometime in November, likely, it could happen in October, but probably sometime in November, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to tell Diana, well, they got bit last night. And they'll be all wilty and sad looking, and it's, you know, the sad flower day. And so I'll have to pull them out of the flower bed, pull them out of the baskets, put the baskets away. I'll toss them in the yard and run over them with the mower. Here today, gone tomorrow. God promises to take care of your basic needs, including clothing. He doesn't promise that we'll all be rich. He doesn't promise that we'll all get everything we want. But he promises that we will never go without. He will make provision for you as his child. And in this verse, he begins to steer us toward our faith and its relation to worry. He says, you have little faith. You don't have enough faith. Ultimately, worry is a faith problem. I said it was an enemy of your faith earlier, along with anxiety. But it is also a lack of faith, a lack of trust in God to take him at his word. Look at verse 31. He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Do not worry. This is an imperative from Jesus. It's a command. It's not a suggestion on how you can have a better life and be happy and all that. Then he tells us why he doesn't want us to worry. Why we shouldn't be worrying about these things. Verse 32. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. People that have no interest in God, that would be the pagans of that day. They have no interest in anything of God. They don't want to talk about him. They don't want to know about him. They run around after all these things, trying to gather and all the investments and all the things that they want to do. They worry about those things, right? But Jesus says, why? Why would you worry about these things? Because, look at the verse again, your Father in heaven knows that you need them. He knows that you need food and water and clothing and throw shelter in there. He knows you need relationships. He knows these things. He is aware of your needs today. Not just your physical needs, but all your needs. He knows what you need, and he will be aware of those needs until the end of your life on earth. Now, all of us have an opportunity to choose to believe that or not. Is God going to provide for you for the rest of your days, or is he not? So answer this challenge in your mind. Do you believe that God knows your needs and will provide for them? It's a yes or no thing inside you. Maybes don't count. It's a yes or no. Do you believe that God will provide for your needs? I'm going to guess that most of you said yes. So if you believe that to be true, I believe it too, I'm with you. Then why is it so easy for us to come up with things that we worry about in this life? It wasn't easy to shout a few out. It wasn't hard to shout a few things out earlier. And it was really, the least time spent on this sermon preparation was filling three screens full of worries. I could have added a fourth or fifth screen. So we come up with things to worry about in this life. Those weren't all my worries, by the way. Some of them were, but not... It was made up of worries that I've heard from other people and some I've experienced and so forth. These are believers, like you and I, believers that understand that God is aware of our needs and will provide for them. We would all say yes, or most of us would say yes, we believe that. And again, I'm not condemning you when I say, well, we come up with worries anyway, because I can't condemn you because I am a recovering worrier. But even if you're not a chronic worrier, sometimes we all worry. I am not a worry-free person. I'm a recovering worrier, which tells us that we all have room for our faith to grow. Unless you're just a worry-free person, I mean, God bless you, I want to be you. We all have room for our faith to grow, and that's when we need to call on the Holy Spirit to do that for us. And so are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let God do the work inside you? Let the Holy Spirit fill you anew and show you a different way than worry. I will warn you from personal experience. First of all, it's not a quick process, and sometimes it's a painful process. But remember that Jesus is on your side when you're going through whatever you're going through. You're trying to be a less of a worrier or whatever else. Jesus is on your side. He's walking with you. He knows where you're at. He understands and he loves you. He's going to walk through this with you, the process. Then Jesus makes a statement that has helped many, many people over the years, I think. And I hear this statement quoted a lot, and I think with good reasons. Verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Many of you are familiar with that verse, or you've heard some, maybe you can't quote it exactly, or you've learned it in a different version, but seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The "but" in the sentence, the first word of the sentence, that refers to worry. Instead of worrying, do this. But, and the thing we are supposed to do, or the "this" in the sentence that we are supposed to do, is to seek the kingdom first and foremost, and the righteousness of God. Remember that we need to read the Bible and do what it says. Do. Let's emphasize that word. We do what it says. There are actions required on our part, not to be saved or anything like that, but we have to work at some of these things. So here is something right there in the verse that we are supposed to be doing. It's not that hard. It's not hard to understand. Sometimes it's hard to put into practice. So this is something we should be doing. Our first priority is Jesus. First, above all else, we are to seek him first, seek his righteousness first, continue growing in our relationship with him. And that should never end. You know, until we go to be with him, we go to live with him, we are continually seeking the kingdom and his righteousness first. Everything else is secondary. Even though some of the secondary things are very, very important, some are significant, like spouses and kids and things like that, but we are to put God first. Then look at the result. It's right there in the verse. Look what happens. All of these things, all the things Jesus is talking about, all these things will be given to you as well. All of them. There is an inverse relationship between seeking God, putting him first, seeking God and his righteousness, versus worrying and all the anxiety that comes along with worry. The more you and I seek God, this is just a truism, it's biblical. The more you and I seek God and his righteousness, so we're going to live life God's way, the more we do that, the less you and I are going to worry and the less anxiety is going to happen in you. That's the way it works. And as a recovering worrier, I know that is absolutely true. The opposite is true as well, this inverse relationship. The more you and I worry, we fret, worry about whatever it is, the further you will move away from God. It's not that you're trying to move away from God, but you will. You will move further and further away from God. Sometimes it could be to the point of we don't seek him at all. Brooklyn Loganbill is going to sing a song for us this morning, and Shauna Evans is going to accompany her. The song that she's going to sing is not directly about worry. Yeah, you can come on up, Brooklyn. She wasn't sure if this was the cue. I'm not trying to embarrass you. So it's not directly about worry. You're not going to see that in the song. The words will be on the screens, and you can listen to them and read them too. But the words of this song take us back to the things God has done for us in the past, how he's provided for us, how he's maybe done some healing, whatever he's done in your life. So think about things that you have worried over in the past. If you could think of one thing that you really fretted over, and it's not going on anymore, and you know, you're worried, there was anxiety about it, and so forth. So one of two things happened. Either it didn't come true, the thing you worried about never happened, or it didn't happen in the way you thought it would, or God took care of it. One or the other. The worry didn't accomplish anything, but God took care of it, or the thing didn't happen. There are many things I can look back on my life and think, why was I worried about that? Right now I think of it and it doesn't even register. But I was so worried, lost sleep, all that kind of stuff. So think about the things God has done for you so far, and remember, he still knows your needs. He'll know your needs tomorrow and the next day and so on. He's aware of what you're dealing with right now. And he loves you. And he always will, even when you fall short.
Look what you've done. How could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believed, they got some roots that run deep. I let them take a hold of my life. I let them take control of my life. And in your presence, Lord, I can feel you taking all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look how you've made me new. All the enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done. Suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken, now I see you were breaking new ground inside of me. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all the roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look how you've made me new. All the enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done. On the cross, in a grave, with the stone rolled away, all my debt, it was paid. Look what you've done. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my life, with my hands lifted high, I'm singing. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. You spoke your truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look how you've made me new. All the enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done. On the cross, in a grave, with a stone rolled away, all my debt, it was paid. Look what you've done. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my life, with my hands lifted high, I'm singing. Look what you've done.
Great job, Brooklyn. Really great. All right, we appreciate that. There's one more verse in this section, and it is the other verse that has been vital to me, the Holy Spirit used, to becoming less of a worrier. And I've always thought for many years, decades now, that it is one of the most profound things that Jesus ever said. And you should be able to find that on your yellow insert if you got a bulletin. I put both those significant verses, and maybe they'll help you. You put them up somewhere. There's a few out here on the table, too, by the way. You can find it in verse 34. Therefore, so we're summing up. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just profound. Jesus acknowledges in this verse that there are some days that will bring trouble. You might have one this week, I don't know. But don't bring tomorrow's trouble into today. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. I didn't make that up, you've heard that before. But I sure do remember that. So, I'm Jerry, and I'm a recovering worrier. And the reason I have been open about that today is not to make it about me, but to tell you this in case it encourages you. God has brought me a long long way in this area. And I'm telling you, if he can do it in this chronic worrier, he can do it in you. He will do it for you if you ask him. So ask him. And remember, it may not always feel like it in a given day, a given season of life, but God really does have things under control. He really does. Last week I had a vision in my mind. I don't throw that around. I don't know if I've ever said that in a service here before, but I had a clear vision, not with my eyes, but it was in my mind. And in this vision, the vision was here in this room, and it was today. And I saw the body of Christ ministering to one another in the service. Don't let your pride rob you of ministry in the next few minutes. Don't let your pride rob you of asking for ministry, because I'm going to ask you if you want it in a minute. And don't let your pride rob you of ministering to someone else. Because I think this is the way we're supposed to do ministry time, this time anyway. So in just a moment, not yet, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want prayer about worry, you don't have to tell anybody what's going on. You can if you want. If you're a chronic worrier, you're worrying about something specific right now, it's just heavy on your heart, there's anxiety. Again, you don't have to share details, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And those of you that don't have that going on, I want you guys to be the one praying over people. I'm not going to do the prayer. I want you all as the body to be doing the prayer. And if you're not comfortable with this, that's okay. Just stay where you are. But I really encourage you to do one or the other. And so I'm going to ask our deacons and deacons' wives to kind of lead the way. But you're going to have to move around if you're going to go pray for somebody. So if you have the courage, I hope Holy Spirit's giving you courage right now. Would you just say, I'll take some prayer for that. Anybody? Over here? So let's get some people around her. Anybody else? Let's get some people over here. Where else? Keep your hand up until I know somebody's near you to pray. Got somebody here? Anybody upstairs I'm missing? Okay, Daryl, let's get some people around Daryl up there. There's two more up here, upstairs people. We got three hands up over there. Let's minister to each other. This is powerful. I'm still looking. If you need prayer and you don't have your hand up, keep it up. I'll try to point you out and get somebody around to you. Right, we've got somebody here. We still need somebody over here and there. Somebody. One more over this way, upstairs, folks. I got to tell you, friends, this is what I saw. And don't be shy. You won't have to be the first to raise your hand, but let me give you one more sweep across the room. Right here. Somebody right here. We need somebody to pray for this person. I don't want to call out names so much, but I need somebody downstairs to come right over here. Any more? To share intimate details. All right, I'm going to get out of the way. If you happen to see somebody put their hand up that after I stop talking here, just find them and get around them. Let's pray. So, minister, body. Let's do that now. All right, praise God. I think the praying is finished up for now. Two quick verses on the subject, and then I'm going to close in a general prayer for all of us. Paul taught on worry as well, and it's a really good couple of verses that are a good companion piece to what Jesus taught on it. So I'm going to read these verses. I'm not going to stop and talk about them, but the first verse is what your part is in worrying. And then the second verse, you look for the promised outcome. This is a promise from Jesus. So look for those. All right, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray for every person here. I pray for those that have burdens, that have worries. I thank you for the ministry that happened this morning. I pray that people will sense your spirit working in them. And we thank you, Lord, for these verses. Help us, Lord, to remember them when we have concerning things in our life and we're prone to worry about them. Help us to trust you as you've commanded us to. And I pray all of these things for all of us, including myself. We pray them in the name of Jesus. Amen.